My name is Julie Tai, and I am the Director of Chapel at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studios' audio stream of sermons drawn from campus chapels and preachers throughout our extended community.
Reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament lesson today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through chapter 6, verse 10. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Today on Ash Wednesday, we're going to talk about truth-telling. Ash Wednesday is about truth-telling. And truth-telling is difficult for every single one of us. It is really hard to tell the truth to someone we love when we feel afraid that we're going to deeply wound them, and they may pull away from us or even reject us. We're afraid to tell the truth to people who have power over us when we don't know the consequences if they hear something they don't want to hear. It's really hard for us to tell the truth about things that are happening in our own families that we feel overwhelmed by and powerless about. And so sometimes consciously or even unconsciously, we live with a lot of deception to protect us from what feels painful and difficult and frightening. It's really hard for us to tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves, isn't it? There are some of us who have a very difficult time acknowledging their vulnerabilities and their frailties. And they spend a lot of time in their life crafting a way of being in the world that's full of competency and success and achievements and strength. There are others of us that have a difficult time seeing the beauty and the brilliance of God's creation in our lives. We compare ourselves to others, and we get disappointed as we see places where we feel inadequate or less than. But the truth of Ash Wednesday reminds each one of us that no matter who we are, where we were born, what privilege or poverty we were raised with, where we fit in the pecking order of this world, we all come from the very same place, and we all are going to have the very same ending. Today on Ash Wednesday, we are admitting to ourselves what we know is true, that we are going to die. No matter how much time or money we spend trying to stay young, or how hard we work to try to control our lives and keep it all together, we know deep down that we are not in charge of the big stuff and that we are going to die. And the gift of this truth, the gift of this painful truth that we are going to die, is that it calls us to look at how we live. Like that line of one of my favorite Mary Oliver poems, "Tell me then, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" As we begin our Lenten journey today, that's what we want to focus on these 40 days, our 40 days of our own wandering in our own desert. We want to look at and think about and reflect on and pray about the way we live and the way we die. We want to tell ourselves the truth about the ways that we choose to look for life and joy and peace and all kinds of other places than in God. We want to tell ourselves the truth about the places where we need to be reconciled to God again, where we have fallen asleep, where we have wandered away, where we have lost the fervor of our first love. We don't do this reflection as a way to condemn ourselves, but to tell ourselves the truth so that we can offer a broken and a contrite heart to God and receive again God's grace and forgiveness, that life-giving breath of God into our dusty souls. In the passage that I just read from 2 Corinthians, I hear an urgency in Paul's writing. Maybe not that unlike the urgency that someone feels when they know their days are numbered. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't waste another precious moment of your life living like you don't belong to God. Don't accept, as Paul says, don't accept the grace of God in vain. Paul reminds us again that we have been given righteousness through the sacrifice of Christ. Are we living as Paul was living through the good times and the hard times in that reality of our belonging and our belovedness? So this is the gift of Lent. This is the gift of ashes. We allow our focus for the next 6 weeks to be on our need for repentance, our particular and personal need for repentance, the ways that each one of us needs to be reconciled to God in deeper ways. We're going to try to tell ourselves the truth that will indeed set us free. Because as we bear the mark of ashes on our heads today, the sign of our penitence and our sorrow, our ashes are in the shape of a cross, because the cross is the destination of our Lenten journey. And as Paul reminds us in our reading today, we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. We are poor, yet rich in grace and forgiveness, that we have nothing on our own, but we possess everything in Christ. We are dying, and see, we are alive. We are frail creatures, We're made from the earth, and we're destined to return to the earth. And yet we're also made in the image of God, and we're destined for God. We are dust, but we are beloved. We're shaped by God's love. We are saved by the work of the cross, and we are continually brought to life again and again and again by the breath of God that fills our lungs and fills our souls. So, brothers and sisters, since the early days, followers of Christ have observed with great devotion the time of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and have prepared for this by a season of penitence and fasting. By carefully keeping these days, Christians take to heart the call to repentance and the assurance of forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel, and we desire to grow in our faith and our devotion to the Lord. So I invite you, therefore, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer and fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Friends in Christ, I invite you to receive these ashes as a sign of the spirit of penitence, which we shall keep together this season of Lent. God, our Father, you create us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of our penitence and a symbol of our mortality. For it is by your grace alone that we receive eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.